It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, and Blythe Chapman and Kerry Ock from River Bridge are here with us. Time for a big fundraiser for them. It's Imagine 3, the third event of this type. It's hosted by Susie Jimenez, who is a finalist on the Food Network Star program.
She was actually the runner-up.
Was she runner-up?
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
and she lives in this area, obviously.
She does. She lives in the Carbondale-Redstone area. It's a neighbor of mine.
Aha. Mm-hmm. I'm beginning to see how this came about. And she's hosting this event again along with five different restaurants, and a big fundraiser for you and a great night to have a conversation and talk about River Bridge and what you do in a little bit more relaxed, I guess you might say, less formal way than you normally do. Now, for folks who aren't familiar with this fairly new organization in our area, explain what River Bridge is. Which one of you wants to take that one?
I will. This is Carrie. So River Bridge is what's called a child advocacy center. This is a national model, so there's centers like this all over the country, and we're really, really lucky for such a relatively small community to have a center like this. So what that really means is that when there are allegations of child abuse, could be physical abuse, sexual abuse, sometimes neglect, or if a child has witnessed a violent crime, law enforcement or the Department of Human Services can request that a child comes to River Bridge. And what they usually first come for is what's called a forensic interview.
And that's where you come in.
Right, right. There's a number of interviewers who can conduct interviews at River Bridge, but I am the I'm the on-staff person, so I do the majority of interviews. And really what forensic interview means is just a very specific child-appropriate, developmentally appropriate, age-appropriate, all that kind of thing, way of talking with a child in a neutral, comfortable environment, giving them the best chance possible to relate what occurred.
Well, I say one of the times you were here in the past, I actually looked up what forensic means, and it actually means scientific, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's really where you're coming from, is a scientific approach, and you're bringing to bear, as you say, all the age development appropriate terminology and knowing how to communicate with kids, really, is
right.
What you're talking about at various age levels.
Exactly.
I recall back in the 80s, I think, there was a huge fallout with psychology, because a lot of therapists were doing perhaps not interviews exactly like you're talking about, but the way that they asked the questions, things came up that really never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the exact terminology for that, but that's really what you're trying to do. And when you say that you're asking these questions in a neutral way, you're trying to get to the facts so that you can then help move on into regular therapy or assist law enforcement if that's necessary, or Department of Human Services if they're involved in whatever way they need to be.
Exactly, exactly. In a very non-leading kind of way, the things you were mentioning, those cases kind of from early to mid-80s were actually a big reason why child advocacy centers were created in the first place.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so you nailed it.
Well, that doesn't happen every day.
Correct. Yeah, so kids were being interviewed in highly leading ways by people who may have been psychologists or may have just been a patrol officer who really didn't know how kids' brains worked and how to ask them questions where they're getting accurate information.
Well, and I'm sure that they had, you know, the child's best interest
absolutely
in mind.
Absolutely, yeah. They were just trying to get that, but it wasn't the best way, and it became very confusing. So okay. That's how this field grew.
So, and now here we are 30-some years later.
Right.
And so where Riverbridge is today is really a result of all that happened back there, as you say, early 80s is when?
It was like early to mid-80s. McMartin is one name I'm thinking of. There was a McMartin case, pretty high-profile child care center, and there were just bizarre allegations that started coming out of that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, it's a child advocacy center.
Exactly.
When you say these exist all over the country and that it's kind of unusual for a I would call it a market, an area like ours, to have an advocacy center of this size, do you know how many there are across the country? Like how many in each state? How many in Colorado, to bring it a little bit closer to home?
Sure. So in Colorado, there's 16 right now. They are mostly in urban areas. So Riverbridge, there are three on the western slope. And Riverbridge is really the only one on that I-70 corridor between Denver and Grand Junction. So there's a lot in like the Denver area. And nationally, there's, I think it just went over 800 centers like this.
Okay. So something like 40 in each state on average. And of course, there are a lot of states that are much more populous than Colorado is.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And again, this fundraiser on April 4th at the Gathering Center in Carbondale is to raise money for Riverbridge. By the way, if you would like to learn more about Riverbridge Regional Center, you can go to the website, which is riverbridgerc.org. You can also buy tickets for the Imagine 3 event there. So the question is, it's fairly unusual in smaller areas, and certainly Riverbridge is fairly new. I want to say we talked about this for the first time 5-6-something years ago, and it had been around for maybe a couple years before that.
Mm-hmm.
What was the solution? Who filled this void before Riverbridge existed?
I can answer that. This is Blythe. So it's not like people were doing it wrong before Riverbridge got here, before Riverbridge was created. Human services and law enforcement did the best they could with what they had. And so before a child advocacy center, or in communities that don't have a child advocacy center, they still investigate child abuse cases. They still talk to kids. They still go through the entire process, and they do their best to make sure kids' needs are met. But what we know is that communities with child advocacy centers do that job a little bit better, that kids' needs get met in a faster, more productive way, that we have faster charging prosecutions, that overall the community saves money on child abuse investigations, and that families' needs get met. We know from families that in communities that have child advocacy centers that the feedback is they felt more supported and that they got what they needed throughout that process.
Do you think that that is because your job is to help the kids as opposed to law enforcement, which obviously, you know, their job is to gather evidence and provide it to, you know, the district attorney for prosecution or Department of Human Services, which also may interface somewhat with district attorney, but, you know, really they're looking at the whole family and is it appropriate to, you know, put the kids back in that situation or, you know, what do we need to do for there? You think that that's a big reason why?
That's absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head again. I mean, that we know that every department has a big job ahead of them. They have a lot of things they need to get done. They're trying to juggle a lot of things all at once, and there's no way that one agency could possibly cover all the needs for a family and have great outcomes every time. It's just not possible. And that's why child advocacy centers are here. We're a separate, neutral, nonprofit organization, and we're here to help those organizations ensure that victims don't fall through the cracks and that offenders are held accountable.
And of course, being a nonprofit, you're probably eligible for grants and that kind of thing. But more and more, one of the big questions on any grant application is, well, what kind of support are you getting from your community? And that's where fundraisers like the one coming up on April 4th really come into play.
Absolutely. We really depend on our community. Again, we are a separate, neutral nonprofit, and we couldn't do this work without our community's support. The reason Riverbridge is here today is because our community came together and made it happen. It's not because law enforcement decided to put Riverbridge here or human services or someone from the state. It had nothing to do with it. It was our community that said, this is something we need, and we need our community to continue to assist us to make sure that we're here for the long haul.
We'll talk numbers about Riverbridge and the number of kids that they've helped over the last few years in just a minute. Again, you can help support this great local nonprofit organization by attending Imagine 3. We'll also talk about, it is a food thing. You know I'm going to go there. If you'd want more information in the meantime, again, the website is riverbridgerc.org, and you can always give them a call if you prefer that way, 945-5195. Again, the event is Saturday, April 4th at the Gathering Center in Carbondale from 6 to 10 p.m. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, we're visiting with Carrie Ock and Blythe Chapman from Riverbridge. And again, this is a local organization. It's a child advocacy center, one of about 800, I think you said, Carrie, throughout the country.
Yep.
One of 16 in Colorado and one of 3 in western Colorado. So here, Grand Junction and Durango?
Montrose.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Another smaller area, but yet kind of isolated from other locations.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
so that does kind of make sense, actually. Mm-hmm. Kind of like it does to have a place like that here because we are isolated. You know, the choices are for something like that at a larger level, Grand Junction or even Denver maybe in
That's
some
right.
cases.
Yep.
Again, Imagine 3 is the name of the fundraiser on April 4th, Saturday, April 4th, by the way. Again, it's a food thing. It's hosted by Susie Jimenez, who is the second place runner-up on Food Network Star season
7.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you told me one or two of the challenges, I might be able to tell you whether I remember her from that show. You know, those are the ones that kind of stick out in my mind, because you know, that's usually what I tend to bring away from shows like that is, oh, I never thought of doing that. And
I
then,
can't
of course,
remember her specific challenges.
I can't either. I mean, the only thing that might ring a bell is that the winner from that year was the sandwich guy, real tall guy, made a lot of sandwiches.
Interesting. I may have to go. I'm sure they're online. I might have to go check that out.
Yeah.
Just so that I know. So kind of a celebrity, really.
She is.
A local celebrity in the Crystal River Valley, for sure. Mm-hmm. And she's the host. There are going to be 5 restaurants, you said, Blythe, preparing food?
We do have 5 additional restaurants, in addition to Susie doing food stations that night at Imagine. Tempranillo from Basalt. Fat Thai in Carbondale, the Pullman in Glenwood, and Town in Carbondale, as well as Alegria in Carbondale.
And do you know what type of food they're all going to be serving? Probably hors d'oeuvres, I'm imagining. Otherwise, you'd go to one station, you'd be done for the night. It'd have to be a week-long thing.
Yeah, it'll be a taste of their fare from their restaurants.
Okay.
And that'll be a surprise as to what they're bringing that night.
So something special, maybe. Maybe something they've been working on for a while. Maybe a big seller at their restaurant.
Right.
Awesome. Fantastic. Will the bar be open as well, I assume?
Yes. We have Roaring Fork Liquors is donating our wine this year. And the Black Nugget in Carbondale is donating beer. So your ticket into the event for $50 gets you unlimited food and 2 drink tickets. And then additional drinks are only $2. So really a fantastic deal as well as dancing. We have the Starlets playing music for us again this year, and they are just fantastic. People generally have a great time dancing into the night.
And what type of music? Obviously, music you can dance to, but...
It is. It's kind of like classic rock and roll.
Okay.
Yeah, girl group kind of.
Okay. So back to the early to mid-80s again we go.
Yeah, early to mid-80s, even into 60s, 70s. So it's all kind of funny,
okay,
fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Again, the musical entertainment is included with the admission price. Yes. And Blythe, you said you get 2 drink tickets?
You do.
And then if you want to, if that's not enough, you can buy an additional drink ticket for $2. Which is not bad. And again, that's because the beer and the wine was donated by Black Nugget and Roaring Fork Liquors. And all of that money, again, goes to River Bridge. And again, it's great to have these fundraisers, but what you're really looking forward to is when you get that next grant application, you can say, this is how much community support mm-hmm. we received from this fundraiser this year.
Exactly.
Let's talk numbers. 2014, I suppose. You probably have final numbers from 2014. How many kids were you involved with in 2014?
You know, 2014, we saw 176 children. The vast majority of those kids were seen for the forensic interview. And then we always, you know, help and support what we call the non-offending family members. So the family members who come with their child, and we make sure that they're connected and supported as well.
So that would be, I mean, the layperson might consider those like secondary victims.
In other words,
people who were not actually involved at the time that something happened, but they're still affected because they're aware of it, and of course, you know, they have a connection with the child.
Exactly. Okay. So it could be a parent, it could be a sibling. That's right. So we want to make sure that just one example is that the whole family is receiving counseling to help deal with what happened to maybe one member of the family.
Okay. Of those 176 kids that received a forensic interview, so some of those maybe did not require any additional assistance or any further contact. Do you have the breakout as far as how many continued, like a second interview perhaps or further counseling?
You know, almost all of those children, I mean, definitely all of the kids, when they come, we make sure that our on-site therapist at least meets with them and meets with the parent for at least a one-time meeting. She's going to really encourage all of those kids to get into some kind of ongoing therapy. It doesn't necessarily have to be anything super long-term, but she wants to make sure that is happening. So it'd be a rare case that a child would come through and actually not receive any ongoing therapy. Hmm. Sometimes kids receive medical care is what we want to make sure that they're hooked up with as well, if they need that. And it can be anywhere from just an older kid, maybe a teenager has questions about their body. They can talk to a nurse about that, to a well child exam, all the way to what would be a really specialized kind of evidence collection exam. So that can run the gamut as well.
Do you track physical or, sexual abuse versus just standard physical abuse? So of that 176, what's the breakout?
We do track that. I wish I brought my numbers with me. The majority of kids who come through are there for sexual abuse allegations. So
you talked about the fact that River Bridge and other child advocacy centers like River Bridge throughout the country have come about because of research and knowledge that's been gathered over the years. And one thing that we now know that I think this knowledge has just been further cemented in the last few years is that any kind of mental trauma, whether it results from sexual abuse or any other kind of abuse, if it's not dealt with, it can cause much larger and much more significant problems in adult life, even if there's no memory of that abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So untreated trauma, like you said, you know, it creates, we've heard those letters, PTSD, so post-traumatic stress disorder, very similar to what folks coming back from a combat situation, if they're untreated, you know, kind of continue to struggle emotionally and mentally. The good news is that there's really specific kind of therapy that targets that, and it can lower that stress level significantly. So we really push to have kids get right into that kind of therapy that can, like I said, it's not necessarily long-term, but it's super effective, lowers those stress levels.
Again, all of that happens at Riverbridge Regional Center. And again, it's help not just for the child that's involved, but also for, as Carrie mentioned, the additional family members that may be affected by whatever type of abuse we're talking about. Right. And it's not always something that actually happens to the kids. It's sometimes they witness something traumatic.
That's
and
right.
That can, you know, be just as traumatic as if it actually happened to them in a lot of cases.
Absolutely.
Again, you can help support Riverbridge by attending the fundraiser on Saturday, April 4th at the Gathering Center in Carbondale. It happens from 6 to 10 o'clock. It's $50 per person. Again, that comes, you can sample all the food you want. It comes with two drink tickets. If you'd like additional drink tickets, it's $2 per. And again, that's thanks to the donation from Roaring Fork Liquors and the Black Nugget that donated wine and beer, respectively. Take one final break. We'll come back and wrap things up with Blythe and Carrie in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, we're talking this afternoon with Blythe Chapman and Carrie Ock from Riverbridge. Their third fundraiser like this, Imagine 3, happens on Saturday, April 4th. It's a big food night hosted by Susie Jimenez from Food Network Star back in, was it 2011 was when she was on?
It was season 7. I can't remember exactly which year that was.
Anyway, she's going to be making some food and something a little bit different like that. And speaking of Food Network Star, you know, the whole point of those shows, and Hell's Kitchen does this too, to a little bit different degree, but it's all about giving people ingredients that they're not familiar with and seeing what they can actually make of it. And sometimes they come up with just these amazing things, and it's so interesting. Kind of the whole point of this fundraiser, from the food standpoint anyway, is to introduce folks to different types of foods maybe they weren't familiar with from different restaurants, and it gives the chefs an opportunity to kind of, you know, maybe try some of this stuff out. Mm-hmm. And I'll draw an analogy to a lot of what Riverbridge does, actually. Obviously, wouldn't it be awesome if there were never any trauma or traumatic experiences? And yet, sometimes you really learn how strong you can be. And that's kind of where Riverbridge comes in, as you work with these kids and these families to help them see that, yeah, that happened, and yet that does not define me. I can still go on to do great things and be a viable member of society.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, that's a really great way to put it. And people always approach us and go, wow, I don't know how you do that work. It must be just so awful to hear these stories day in and day out. And while it's pretty hard to hear and to know that this happens in our community too, the good news is that Riverbridge is here, and that the kids that see us, the 176 kids that Carrie mentioned that came in 2014 to see Riverbridge, those are the kids we're not worried about. Those kids have told, those kids have gotten help, and those kids have support, whether it's with their family or with the community or, you know, with providers, in order to be productive citizens and grow up and do great things. It's those kids that we don't know about. It's those kids that are still holding on to those secrets that we really worry about.
Carrie, my dad once told me, if you don't focus a lot on the huge successes, then naturally you're also not going to focus a lot on the failures. Mm. Certainly with Riverbridge, it sounds like, you know, very close to 100% successes, or what I would consider a success. You know, you went through that initial interview process. you provided whatever information you could to prosecutors if that was appropriate, or the Department of Human Services in those cases. And you do what you can for those families. And so at the end of the day, while, you know, I'm sure there are days when the job can be stressful, but for the most part, I mean, it seems like you're doing good work and you're really doing what you can.
Absolutely. Yep. We are doing what we can. And for me, it's not, like Blythe said, you know, people ask, how can you do that? Yeah. But it doesn't.
Oh, I'm one of those people.
It can be sad and difficult, but it's incredibly fulfilling and inspirational, actually, because these kids, yep, the wheels are in motion. They're talking about it, and things are getting in place to help them.
When we're talking about physical considerations for kids, you know, we always hear that, oh, well, you're young, you know, like if you break a bone when you're young, if you're young enough, your bones will just knit back together. You don't need screws or anything like that, you know, like we as adults
right.
would. Is it the same thing mentally? I mean, are they still developing? Do they still have, with the right help, the ability to recover more so than an adult would from these types of traumas?
Good question, if it's more so or not. They definitely have the ability to recover, for sure. I wouldn't know if it's, you know, instinctively I want to say yes, like the flexibility right. in their brain cells and the neurotransmitters and all that.
And still learning, you know,
exactly.
gathering all this information.
Yes, yes, yep. Mm-hmm. So,
however, we know that success for kids that are coming out of trauma has a lot to do with support, has a lot to do with belief. And so every kid is different. I mean, we could have a kiddo come in and talk about what most of us would deem pretty minor in comparison to other cases, yet they're affected much more greatly than another kid who experienced something pretty harsh, pretty awful in our minds. And it just depends on what's going on for that kiddo. Who do they have in their lives? Who do they have around them supporting them? When they told for the first time, did that person believe them? Did that person dismiss it? Or did they support them and put their arms around them and say, we're going to get you help? I mean, it has a lot to do with that ongoing support overall.
So there you go. I guess that's the lesson for those of us, those adults, that this is kind of a legal term, that are in a position of trust. You know, it's I consider that really not a legal term, but more of a broad term, because we all deal with kids, most yeah. of us, from time to time. And you never know when something like that's going to come up. And I guess my question would be, if something like that did come up, or you have a suspicion about a young person that you have contact with, obviously most of us are not trained therapists. You know, we're not forensic interviewers. Mm-hmm. What steps should we take?
Well, that's a great question, because a lot of times we hear people are maybe concerned or they have a suspicion, but they're not sure. And so they don't know if they should make a call or make a report. But what we would say is that that's exactly when you should call in your concerns. You don't need to know for sure. That's the job of the investigators and DHS and maybe a forensic interviewer to try to figure out exactly what happened. But it takes, you know, concerned neighbors or community members or family members just to call in, hey, I'm kind of worried about this kid, to get things rolling. And then especially if a child just comes right out and tells you something, as an adult, we don't want to start kind of grilling them for details. It's more of a blanket statement of support. Thank you so much for telling me. I'm going to call someone else who's going to help you and your whole family, and I'll be here with you. You know, just kind of a statement of support.
Again, if you'd like to learn more about Riverbridge, you can go to riverbridgerc.org. And again, there's a link there where you can buy tickets to the April 4th event as well. If you prefer to pick up the phone and actually speak with someone, their phone number is 945-5195. Blythe, do you want to recognize the other sponsors of the event? We mentioned the restaurants and the providers of the alcohol.
That would be great. I would love to recognize our financial sponsors. Our silver sponsors this year are All Valley Maintenance and Mechanical in Carbondale, as well as the Mount Sopras Rotary Club in Carbondale. And I'd like to mention the Mount Sopras Rotary Club has been with us and supporting us since day one. They were a big part of getting Riverbridge started, and we are so blessed to have them continue to support us.
Great people in that club, too.
Really are. And then our bronze sponsors this year are Aspen Constructors, Walters Company, Dalby and Wendland, PC, and Berthoud Motors here in Glenwood Springs.
Again, the website is riverbridgerc.org. The phone number is 945-5195. The Imagine 3 event happens on Saturday, April 4th from 6 to 10 p.m. Would either of you like to mention anything else about the April 4th event or Riverbridge in general as we wrap things up?
I'm madly trying to find the Colorado now has a new statewide reporting line.
Oh.
So it used to be that you had to call county by county where the child lives to report your concerns about a child, but now there is a statewide number.
However, in Garfield County, you can still call DHS, the Child Welfare Reporting Line, which is 945-9193. Sorry, I had to think about that for a second. 9193.
Okay. 945-9193. Again, that's a Garfield County reporting number. Now, obviously, there are folks maybe listening to us right now that may be in Pitkin or Eagle County. Trust me, those folks work with each other on a regular basis.
Yep.
And you can call Garfield County. They will absolutely have the phone number available for Pitkin or Eagle County or wherever you may be. If you're traveling through the area, they will find the answer for you. That's their job also, and
that's
they'll be happy to do it. Best of luck. See you on April 4th, and we'll talk to you, I guess, next year around this time, if not before.
Thank you very much.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Again, the website is riverbridgerc.org, and the phone number is 945-5195. You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.